Sermon 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Malachi 2, verse 1. As stated in Sermon 1, God's complaint is first and chiefly against the priests. The same is true today. The priests, or ministers, stand before the people for the Lord. They are his representatives, his servants, his messengers. By choosing the ministry of the gospel, they assume those relationships. Therefore, God has a right to expect of them good conduct and faithful service, and the people have a right to expect good spiritual food and tender care from them. Malachi 2 is freighted with valuable lessons concerning God's ministers. This chapter falls naturally into five parts. 1. A divine threat. 2. Real priests. 3. Unfaithful priests. 4. Judah's failure. And 5. The questions answered. These five parts contain 7 significant segments. These segments are twofold in a number of cases. The close language student would term much of this chapter poetic. 1. A divine threat. If ye will not hearken, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Malachi 2, verse 2. Consider who uttered these words, the Lord of hosts. This lends weight and solemnity to them. This title of God occurs several times in Malachi, 8 times in the first chapter, 6 times in the second chapter, and 24 times in the entire book. The name Lord is translated Jehovah in the Revised Version. The whole phrase is Jehovah of hosts. He who speaks herein has just dominion over all created intelligent beings. Angels in heaven, good and bad, disembodied spirits in heaven and under the earth, and over all mankind. In a very special sense, he is Lord of his own people, his spiritual hosts. God demands a hearing ear and attentive heart. Such an attitude commands his favor and kindness. His chief claim upon us is to give glory unto my name. Men, carnal men, wicked men, get plenty of undeserved praise. Our God gets very little. Oh, let us give him all the glory due to his precious name. The Lord of hosts deserves it. Hence, he requires it, for every good and perfect boon comes down from him. James 1, verse 17. Neglecting these attitudes toward Jehovah incurs a curse even upon our blessings. Israel murmured, and God gave them flesh to eat until it stuck between their teeth, fulfilling this word, I have cursed them already. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Malachi 2, verse 3. The margin says, reprove your seed because their offspring followed in their steps. This is the fourth segment. The fifth segment is still worse. And spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. The shame and reproach which enveloped those priests for their conduct before God was as if their faces were covered with refuse. Study the disgraceful conduct of Eli's sons and their deserved end. 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 4. And one shall take you away with it. Thus was the remnant of the house of Jeroboam taken away. 1 Kings 14, verse 10. Finally, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 2, verse 4. God gives ample proof that his word is his word and not man's puny word. He had chosen Levi and covenanted that his offspring should be the priestly line. And he demonstrated it beyond contradiction. The unyielding sons of Levi, or Aaron, learned that to their deep sorrow and shame. Jehovah is in every age sovereignly chose and equipped certain persons to know and declare his will and make others to know it. He does the same today. Those who refuse and oppose them suffer for it. 2. Real priests. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him, that he might fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. Malachi 2, verse 5, Revised Version. This refers to the day the golden calf was made. God was displeased greatly and judged Israel. Moses exclaimed, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. They gathered themselves together unto him. Exodus 32:26. Thus Levi earned the priesthood. See Exodus 32:19-20. Malachi chapter 2 verses 5 through 7 sets forth seven important facts about true acceptable priests of God. They contain excellent lessons for us who are ministers today for the character and qualifications of prophets and priests under both covenants are practically the same. 1. Life and peace were the two main planks of that covenant. Reference is made to the words said to Phinehas, Numbers 25:12, and to Ezekiel 34:25 and 37:26. The word life is omitted in them, only peace is named. But we must bear in mind that as the Aaronic priesthood was only typical, so was also the covenant. The anti-typical covenant was made between the Father and his Son Jesus. Therefore we read that he was made a priest, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, Hebrews 7:16. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John chapter 1, verse 3. His priesthood is eternal, the guarantee of our eternal salvation. Let the reader look up the three citations named above, Numbers 25:12, Ezekiel 34:25, and Ezekiel 37:26. God will yet fulfill his covenant to Israel to the uttermost. 2. Why were life and peace given? That he might fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. Malachi 2, verse 5, Revised Version. Every true priest did as here stated, but Jesus revered the name of his Father in a sense and degree beyond all others. He showed no pity to the flesh and recognized no natural ties. Let us ministers be provoked to deep awe and reverence by those Old Testament priests and by the unflinching loyalty of Christ. Let us take Christ in us to stand in awe of his name and of the Father's name. 3. Malachi 2, verse 6. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away many from iniquity. The law of truth was in his mouth. Of course, iniquity was not found in his lips. In Exodus 13:9, the law of truth is called the Lord's law. We are apt always to regard the law as hard, cold, and stern. It simply means the rule or will of God. If our hearts are full of divine love and our minds full of divine truth, iniquity will not be found in our lips either. As Paul admonished, we should be imitators of him as he imitated Christ, to whom the above verse ultimately refers. 4. He walked with me in peace and equity. What a testimony! A true priest or minister enjoys the covenant of peace to the fullest extent. Jesus did nothing apart from his Father, neither should we. Even Enoch walked with God and had this testimony that he pleased God. Why may not we, who have Christ in us, our life and strength? Let us, God's servants, persistently say and believe that it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20, and it is Christ speaking in me, not weak toward others, but mighty in them, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Then we too shall walk and please him. 5. Then the following also will be true of us, and did turn many away from iniquity. Our testimony and teaching will be effectual. We will bear fruit to God's glory, and results will follow our ministries. the same Holy Spirit who enabled Jesus to go about doing good and hearing the oppressed will enable us to do the same mighty works. Number 6, seek the law at his mouth, Malachi 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Such was the instruction given to the priests and people at the beginning, as declared in Deuteronomy 17, verse 9. Ezra was a fine example of a true priest, for he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, Ezra 7, verse 10. The ministry of the priests, including Ezra, in Nehemiah's day is praiseworthy. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, or with interpretation, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading, Nehemiah 8, 8. Preachers should ponder this verse and imitate those sons of Aaron. Paul admonished Timothy and thus admonishes all of us ministers, saying, preach the word, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, literally holding a straight course in the truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Complaint comes to us continually from the pens and lips of God's people that the shepherds do not instruct them in the scriptures. They entertain the people with catchy stories and eloquent statements. What a pity, what a shame. Our blessed Lord set before us an example which we should seek earnestly to heed. Twice we read in Matthew that he went about teaching and preaching and healing all manner of sickness, Matthew 4:23 and 9:35. He expects no less of us today. Happy and successful are they who follow in his steps. Number 7, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The Lord had definitely chosen Aaron and his sons to be his messengers. No one else could fill the priest's office. If he attempted to do so, he suffered for it. King Saul lost his kingdom because he forced himself to offer a burnt offering when he thought Samuel was not keeping his promise. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Many men choose the gospel ministry as an avocation, but are egregious failures, for God has not sent them. They may continue therein, but they do not minister God's word. They lecture, make religious speeches, get a following, but prove to be false prophets. One who is really chosen by the Lord brings the Lord's message. He does not need credentials from men to advertise him. A man's gift maketh room for him, Proverbs 18:16. God credentials him and causes people to give heed to his message and accept it as divine. The same facts are true of women whom Jehovah may choose and send forth as his ministers. Number 3, unfaithful priests. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Matthew 2, verses 8 through 10. Malachi 2, verses 8 through 10 records 7 pitiful facts concerning half-hearted, selfish priests. God said to them, ye are departed out of the way. They knew God's way and will and were responsible for walking in it, for he would have enabled them to do so if they had chosen his will. As a result of departure, they caused many to stumble at the law. It is a very solemn fact that every one of us exerts an influence over others. Especially is this true of people in an official place. If we go right, others will go right. If we go wrong, others will go wrong. They corrupted the covenant of Levi. A minister's misconduct makes it appear that the truth is evil. It misrepresents the Lord. Peter's compromise with legality because he feared the Jews made it appear that Christ was the minister of sin, Galatians 2:17. To stand against the truth is to give God the lie. In the fourth fact, the Lord exposes such. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. Let no minister think that he can continue in his own self-devised way and get by. God will show him up. The spiritual will surely discover his departure from the truth. The full meaning of the departure of the priests from the way is stated in the fifth point. They were partial in the law. The margin says they lifted up the face against the law which expresses the will of God. And no one can step out of God's way into his own way without going against God's will. It is for the people's safety the Lord exposes self-seeking leaders and blows up their religious works. Ye have not kept my ways. Priests who start in their own way go from bad to worse. They deal treacherously with their fellows, even with their brethren. The true saints inquire, how can they? Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? We are members of the same family. We be brethren, said Abraham to Lot. Rather than mistreat his nephew and have strife, he suggested a peaceable separation. What a sad climax is God's verdict of the priest's departure from the right way. He calls it profaning the covenant of the fathers, the covenant which the Lord made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Profanation against that covenant was against God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the very core and ultimate object thereof. Today, departure into one's own way ends finally in fearful defeat and shame, if not in modernism. What a warning to the servants of the Lord! Let us take it deeply to heart and flee from the first and smallest intimations of self-will and the faintest desires of going in our own way. Let us shun the ways of supposedly wise men and women who appear to have fabulous success. Young ministers especially need to be wary of Satan's snares. Paul recognized the traps that tripped them, some of which he named in 1 Timothy 6. He said concerning them, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 1 Timothy 6:11. Then later he exhorted, saying, Flee also youthful lusts. 2 Timothy 2:22. Doubtless he meant the lusts for an easier place, a ministry with less persecution, popular, promising, and on a larger scale. Others have great success, why not I? Persons with strong will, strong personality, self-conceit, and great ambitions are easily trapped by the enemy here. Many young fellows seemingly are making it go today, but in God's sight they are on the rocks of spiritual defeat. Let us profit by the failures of others.